Hi, this is Tony Coomer, and welcome to the very first podcast from MinistryToChildren.com. Thank you for taking the time to download this very first podcast from our website, and I am excited about this new way to talk with you guys, and hopefully this will be helpful to you. I'd love to hear your feedback. In this episode, I'm going to introduce you to Amy Fenton Lee, and she is an author, blogger, and conference speaker on the topic of churches and how they can be more welcoming to children with special needs. This is a really important topic, and Amy is right at the forefront of that, and she has got some great ideas on her website. It's called theinclusivechurch.wordpress.com, and I'll link that on our blog, of course, and you can follow up with her and learn more from her. So, Amy, thank you very much for coming on here to the podcast.
I'm honored to be the first. This will be fun.
Now, Amy, you have really displayed a lot of patience because I've been having technical difficulties getting the setup, and you've just been a champ and went along every step of the way. But I guess we're ready to talk now special needs. So just to get started, I want to hear from you how you became interested in this topic and what kind of got that passion stirred up in your heart that now you're writing and speaking and talking so much about special needs children in the church.
2 years ago, I started doing writing for ministry publications, and initially my interest was more in issues related to women's ministry, actually. And I had done an article for a Southern Baptist publication on what to say, not to say to a grieving friend, to a woman who was in the midst of crisis or loss in her life. And we talked about sometimes Christians don't know how to respond appropriately to either believers or unbelievers who are in the midst of pain in their life. And I had done a series of articles for a publication on that, and in the process of discussing those articles with the editor of the publication, she said, "Have you thought about doing any writing on related to anything special needs and taking into account the needs of a mother of a child with special needs?" Well, I hadn't done any writing on that, and I liked the idea because I knew that was, my gut was, that was an area that we weren't doing well in terms of ministry and outreach and inreach within the church. And my little boy, I have a 5-year-old, and when he was younger, he had a number of problems that required therapy and a lot of doctor's appointments in his first 2 and 3 years of life. And I remembered hearing comments from some of my church friends that they thought that possibly the culprit was my parenting skills. And it was hard not to take that personally sometimes. And I kept thinking, no, there's more to this. There's something else wrong with him. And there was, and we got to the bottom of it, and he's at a great place, but he had some sensory integration issues. And I knew that for many parents of special needs kids, you can be very misunderstood, and it can be lonely. And so that sort of sparked my interest in this when the editor had mentioned to me having me do some writing on this topic. Well, once I started doing the research and finding people to interview about how we as a church could respond and meet the needs of the family that's affected by special needs, I started realizing this is just a totally and completely underdeveloped area that we haven't really educated the church in. And about the same time, I had done a little bit of writing for the International Network of Children's Ministry on an unrelated children's ministry topic, and I asked them if they had any interest in covering more special needs related issues, and they said yes. And so anyway, what started as one or two little writing assignments and a couple of conversations with two different editors or publishers then turned into, wow, I'm doing a lot of writing on this. And so earlier this year, I decided to start the blog to answer questions that I was hearing directly from people and from churches about how to include children with special needs. And it's just kind of taken off from there.
Well, that's great. And you know, that makes a lot of sense to me because I've been following a lot of children's ministry blogs for several years now. Just as part of what we do on the website. And when yours came up, it seemed like such a fresh and original voice, and it was dealing with a topic that, like you said, is really underserved. So I think that's probably one part of the reason your website, your blog, the inclusivechurch.wordpress.com, has grown so quickly. Yes, you're a good writer. Yes, you're a nice person, all this. But you're also hitting it right on the head of the nail of where the needs are in a lot of churches. So good work, Amy. Keep it up.
Thanks, Tony. I wouldn't say I'm a great writer, but hopefully we're addressing a need. Thank you, though.
You're doing a great job. Let's talk about some basic things that every church can be aware of and maybe implement. I'm in a smaller church, and we don't see a lot of children with special needs visiting our church. But if we did, I'm sure we'd be scrambling to get all the pieces in place. What are some basic things that every church can do to be ready for children with special needs when they come?
Whether you're going to be a proactive church and think about starting a special needs ministry, or you're going to be more responsive, and that is to just make the decision, hey, we want to be more accommodating when they arrive. Either way, and there's nothing wrong with either approach, you do have to think ahead about, okay, how am I going to answer this need? And the very first thing I would say is find a resource, a person in your church who can help navigate the path, whether that's creating the ministry or responding when the need arrives, to a situation where there's a need to accommodate a child with special needs. Special education teachers are wonderful. Occupational therapists, speech pathologists, even someone from the medical community can be very good. And oftentimes the best resource is a mother of a child with special needs. And it may be a mother who's got now a 20-year-old and has figured out a path for their child, that they learned sort of what to do, and they learned the whole special needs culture, and they can help you. So the very first thing to do is to find a resource to call on, and that is not the same thing as finding a volunteer for the program. It's just finding someone to advise you, hey, here's the first thing you need to think about. And as you're doing that, they may help you devise an intake form, meaning just a few questions that you could ask when that family calls you and says, hey, we have a child with autism. We have a child with cerebral palsy. We have a child with, the list goes on in terms of what their unique needs may be. And rather than sort of be blindsided, think about, okay, well, what questions do I need to ask them to make sure that we adequately understand the needs of that family and that we can place the child in the best environment and keeping everybody else safe at the same time, which you do have to think about those things. So those are the very first things I would say, and hopefully there are some posts on the blog that would even sort of trigger you to think about some of those first steps that you might need to take even before a family may have arrived at your church.
That's great. That's exactly the kind of thing I need to hear, because I do have in my church, I have several teachers who have special ed background. They either teach that now, or they did at some point in their teaching career. And then we have a few doctors here and there, and even a couple moms who have parented through those years. So that's great advice, and that's a resource I can definitely use here in my congregation. Let me go ahead and put you on the spot. And this is a question that's come up a couple different times, I think, on Facebook, email, and all that. People have asked me, and I've tried to refer these questions over to you and your blog, because to me it seems like you're really doing a lot of forward thinking on this. But here's the question. Okay, it's Sunday morning. You're bringing the kids back to Children's Church. A mom comes up to you, and she's got this 19-year-old teenage boy with her, and she kind of puts you on the spot and says, hey, this is my son. He has such and such disability. At all the other churches we visit, he just goes to Children's Church, and I stay in Big Church. And she tries to go ahead and,
leave him with you
and return to the service. How do you respond in that situation?
Okay, the first thing I would say is that we are, as a church, we are so excited you are with us today. And we're really excited that you brought your son, I'll call him Johnny. We're so excited that Johnny is here, and we definitely want to find a place for him in our congregation. Having said that, we like to think through what the best place is going to be, and I can't do that right now. I'm on my way into Children's Church with the rest of the children, and I like to get a chance to get to know you and get to know your son before we do that. So our church has the policy that, especially when we have someone that's not of the same age, and your 19-year-old son is not the same age as our second graders here that you can see, or your fifth graders, we need to have a discussion with you before we accept him today. We just need to come back to you and think through this. So in the short term, I would say you're going to have to say no, that he can't come with you today. And that's what's best for everyone, including him. you know, unfortunately, there are stories of things that happen, and sometimes when you get put on the spot, you're forced to make a really snap judgment, and those are hard. And in a way, you take a risk, and sometimes those risks are okay, and sometimes they're not. And when you're dealing with the special needs population, it really is best for everybody to sit down and think through a situation before you take on the responsibility and the liability of caring for that child. One other thing is it is generally speaking not a good idea for children to, or for different age sets to be with each other. I'm trying to think of the right words to say this. There really is not a good, a 19-year-old should not be with fifth graders. A 19-year-old should not be with sixth or seventh graders, and certainly not four-year-olds. And I hear of those situations all of the time. Even a 19-year-old who has cognitive disabilities still needs to be with people who are around his or her age. It's not what's best for that person, and it is especially not best for the other participants. So the thing about it is that the thing the children's ministry team needs to think about is these are expected things. That's going to happen. I don't know of a church where that situation that you just described, Tony, hasn't happened, where someone has been kind of hurriedly, hey, I'm going to go do my thing. Here's my child with special needs. I'm sure you can figure it out. And oftentimes it is easy, but in the 1 out of 5, 1 out of 10 times it's not, or there might be a seizure disorder that you didn't know about, or there may be some behavior issues there that that younger children wouldn't understand initially. You need to get get the chance to really talk through the situation with the parents, and maybe even meet one-on-one with the 19-year-old to figure out what the best setting is. But it is okay to say we aren't prepared today. The important thing is to say we're glad you're here. We want you to come back and bear with us while we figure this out. We've got to figure this out, but we've got 6 days between today and next Sunday. So hang with us while we kind of work through some challenges this week, and maybe we find a buddy to spend one-on-one time with your son. But today, we just can't do it today. But hang with us. We'll get there. Does that sound helpful?
That's a great answer, because I really like the way that you – I mean, as a church, we do need to be welcoming, and we need to have open doors for all kinds of people. But at the same time, you know, we need to approach different situations wisely. And, you know, it sounds like – my children's church is not really going to meet his needs, and you know, there's a lot of other issues there. So that's a great answer.
You have a responsibility to the parents of the typical children who are not affected by special needs, that they're always in the best environment and the safest environment for them. And while, you know, 90% of the time, that's not going to be compromised when you take on a special needs individual or a special needs ministry. But for the 5 or 10% of the time that you do have to think about it, it yields very different results if you thought ahead about it and set up some parameters in place so that people don't have to take things personally, and you're carefully going that extra step just to make sure that it's the right environment and it's the right setting and you have the people who are prepared to respond for those situations.
Let me ask you another question now, and this one might be a more common situation, but I have a friend who recently had a child diagnosed with autism, and they're still in the preschool years, and it was hard on them, and they have really struggled with some issues related to that and how to be a good parent, and it kind of changes their paradigm of what parenting is supposed to be, because, you know, before, you know, in a typical parent's mind, in my mind as a parent, a lot of times my child's behaviors reflect on me as a person. And when you have a child with special needs, you know, that's not always the case. Some of those behaviors are coming from other things than your parenting. But, okay, so what would you say if you had a friend in the church, a preschooler was just diagnosed with autism and they're really upset, how would you encourage them?
That's a great question, and the thing that I have found is that many parents who are right now in the process of receiving that autism diagnosis, they feel very alone, and just to have someone take interest in them and even ask questions is a good thing. They welcome that. So if I found out that, let's say it's an acquaintance within the church, somebody that I had a relationship with, and I heard that they were in the process or had received the autism diagnosis, I might first find a mutual friend who is pretty aware of that and ask if they were open to conversation, because sometimes right after the diagnosis comes, sometimes they're still processing it, and they may not be ready for people to know about it. But if you do find out that they're ready for people to know, then you absolutely need to go to them and say, okay, I heard that Johnny is going through the process of receiving an autism diagnosis, and I want to learn about that. I want you to coach me, because we want Johnny to be a part of our life. And if you can communicate to those parents that you are going to love their child just as God created them, and that you want to learn to understand their differences and their strengths, you're going to immediately create an inroads with them that they may not, and a support that they may be craving and really want. Because if you're going to ask questions and get to know what makes that child unique, and if you can find ways to celebrate that child, it's going to help those parents a lot. Because one of the top fears a parent wrestles with when they're going through the diagnosis is they're wondering, am I now going to be left out of social circles? Am I now going to lose all of my friends? And gosh, my child isn't going to be invited to anybody's birthday party. They're worried about loneliness. So if they know that you're willing to enter their life, enter their pain, and learn about some of maybe even quirks that their child has, and that you're not going to judge them as parents, and you're not going to think, oh, they're a bad parent when I see this child behave in this way, that, boy, that's not conventional. If they know you're taking the time to get to know their child, they are going to feel tremendous support. And it's ultimately going to help the child learn to, they're going to thrive much better if they are a part of your life and interacting with you. I don't know if that helps.
No, that's great, and that advice is spot on, because a lot of those issues you were talking about there were absolutely in that situation. So thank you for that response, and hopefully that's going to help a lot of people, because I don't know what the trends are exactly. You're probably going to speak to that better than I can, but it seems like autism and some of these other diagnoses are definitely on the rise. Is that true? Has that been what your research is showing, Amy?
Absolutely, and I don't have in front of me the statistics right now. I have, I'm trying to remember how much they say. It's been an absolutely astronomical increase between 1986 and 2006 in the number of diagnosed cases. And of course, there's debate regarding, was it misdiagnosis or underdiagnosis to begin with? Have we always had this number, or is there a trend in genuinely more kids truly being diagnosed with this? And it may be a combination of both. And as a side note, I don't think it's the role of the church to always have to make the decision as to what's causing it. But it is the church's role to find a way to meet the needs of the families who are being affected. And that's where we are called, is just to meet people where they are. And there are more and more people being affected by autism. Right now, the rate is that 1 in 70 boys will be diagnosed with autism this year. That's 1 in 70 boys. So think about all the children's ministries out there that have 70 little boys. Hmm. You probably have one child that falls somewhere on the autism spectrum. And that's a huge spectrum. I mean, you can have a child that falls on the autism spectrum and can fully participate in a children's ministry. In fact, you might or you might not think of them as special needs. And then you can have some children who are severe and profound and very much affected by autism and would foster would the best situation for them, where they might enjoy the best church setting, would actually be in a self-contained setting. So they fall all over the spectrum, but at the end of the day, you have to remember that it's 1 in 70 boys and 1 in 110 girls will most likely be diagnosed with autism this year.
Well, those are some very helpful statistics, and that shows you know, right away what kind of need and what kind of opportunity the church has to be involved in people's lives, to be involved with their struggles, and to truly show love to parents and families and children who, you know, are going through some difficult things, difficult times. So that's great. Well, thanks for sharing that, Amy.
One thing I'd like to say is that it's often that where the children's ministry team can be the most sensitive to the siblings, to the typical siblings, because their chance to be in Vacation Bible School or Awana or Sunday morning, that may be their 1 hour or 2 hours a week that they get to be among typical peers and just have a good time and have conversation with other people who are going through the same things in their life, because when they go back home, it's a heavier place. If you have a child with special needs living in the same home, it's a heavier place. So sometimes I think the greatest role and the greatest ministry that a children's ministry team can provide is just being really sensitive to the typical children who are affected by special needs at home.
That's another great insight, and this is why I have you on our podcast. I know in I first met you. You reached out to me when you were starting your blog, and you found our website, and you reached out to me and asked for some advice and help along the way, and I've been glad to do that. But then I met you in real life at the Children's Ministry Expo in Lexington, Kentucky, and I think you even made my video highlight of that. I think
that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was a good time. But I know you've got some upcoming conferences that you're going to be scheduled at, and I know you've got some upcoming articles that you're writing for some publications. Do you want to tell me a little bit about that stuff?
Well, I do. Right now I'm doing the special needs-related articles for K Magazine, and that's kidsmatter.com, where Ryan Frank and Tina Hauser's bunch. Mm-hmm. I do the writing for them. I am scheduled to speak at the National Children's Pastors Conference with INCM, the one in San Diego as well as Orlando. I'm coming back to Children's Ministry Expo in Lexington next summer. I'll be doing that, and we're working on. So there's other things in the works. That's the best I can say right now. But the good news is that special needs is definitely a hot topic, and there's a lot of people out there who are hungry for help and want to help their church be more accepting to children with special needs.
Well, that's excellent. Yeah, and I look forward to that, because I'm not sure about Orlando. I've got a friend trying to talk me into going. But I'll have to see. I've got a couple of friends trying to talk me into going, but I'll have to see if I can swing the air flare and all that. But that's exciting, and definitely your articles in K Magazine. I've got K Magazine on my desk right now. Let's see if I can make noise with it. Hear that? Right there, K Magazine, right here on my desk. Well,
I want to say, Tony, thanks for the great job you're doing with MinistryToChildren.com. I absolutely love the articles. The last you've done quite a good job of pointing the spotlight toward safety in children's ministry, and that topic cannot be covered too much. It's just impossible. And for churches who want to do special needs ministry, they absolutely have to develop and maintain a safety culture. And for churches that are still struggling in that area, I would actually say first get a handle on safety before you try too hard to do special needs, because safety in ministry settings is just so important. And Tony, thanks for putting some great articles with step-by-step practices for churches to follow in this area.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the encouragement. It's safety is one of those things that if everything's going right and going well and your systems are working, then nobody wants to talk about it. But in too many churches, it's just not.
But that's going to be a topic for a different podcast, because we are out of time for this one. Thanks again to everyone who's listened through to the end. And thanks again to Amy for all her help. You want to check out her blog. It's theinclusivechurch.wordpress.com. And tune back in next week. Our next podcast is already set up. It's going to be with Sam Luce, the 13-year children's ministry veteran from Utica, New York. So we'll talk with him in the next podcast. So thanks for listening.